Good afternoon. In behalf of the family, thank you so much for being here today. You honor them and you honor Mike Hughes by your presence today. It's so special to be able to honor a person who is a good man, hard worker, a good dad, granddad, husband. So many characteristics about Mike that we'll hear about today. But above all, he was a servant of God. He has heard the blessing of our Lord, who said that he has done well. He's a good and faithful servant, and he's entered into the reward that God has prepared for him. Or in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, we know the words of saying that blessed are those that die in the Lord, because they have received their reward and they've received their rest forevermore. And we know that that speaks of Mike Hughes. But Mike Hughes would be a little bit disappointed if we just made this day about him. He would want us to honor God with this time of celebration of his life. We'll certainly spend time in memory of Mike, but also, according to Mike's wishes, we also want to honor God. And we'll remember that all the promises, all the blessings that now are Mike's are because of the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the fact that we get to celebrate life well lived, that we're able to know with the hope and assurance that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, that awaiting those who profess his name, who live according to his will, that we have a reward waiting for us. And we're grateful today that we can so remember Mike Hughes. We ask for a special blessing on his family today, as they have mixed feelings, obviously. They know that they have been blessed by such a wonderful man, but at the same time, they mourn his loss, and we mourn with them. And we stand to support them and encourage them and comfort them. But we know what little we can offer is it pales in what you're able to give. As our Heavenly Father, the Father of all comfort, we ask this morning, this afternoon, that you will give that blessing of your encouragement and comfort. And we pray for those who will speak in behalf of the family and for those who speak for us as his friends, that they will share things that will help us be of light heart, knowing that even though we mourn this loss, we rejoice in the blessing of his life. This day we dedicate to you, and we honor you as we honor Mike. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's join a song together as we sing In the Garden, I Come to the Garden Alone. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks
with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night surround me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe, voice to me his calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Y'all, let's pray again, please. Yes, Father. Today is a celebration for Mike Hughes. We want to thank you for sharing him with us. The love and the laughter he brought to us. He left footprints on our hearts, on all of us. Thank you for giving us men like Mike in our lives to show us the way to walk in the Lord's way. Please comfort his family and the rest of us, for we will miss him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mike was born on July the 7th, 1944, in Graham, Texas, to the late Winfred and Glenna Faye Martin Hughes. He married Lynn Ann Bibby on August the 18th, 1967, in Dallas. He served through his work at the foster home and is an elder at the Graham Street Church of Christ. He and Lynn Ann have lived over 54 years here in Stephenville. He was a rancher, a real estate broker, and he was a heck of a roper in his prime. He much enjoyed sitting on the back porch admiring his wheat and cattle. Tea parties and Pecos Bill stories with his granddaughters were also very special to Papa Mikey. Mikey is survived by his wife, Lynn Ann, and his son, Joel, and wife, Nikki Hughes, and their children, Lauren and Lexi. Son, Scott, and wife, Lori Hughes, and their children, Sydney and Hannah. Son, Buddy Lee, and son, Harold McDonald, and his brother, Johnny Hughes, and several nieces and nephews and cousins. Today is a celebration for Mike Hughes, and I know Mike wouldn't like all this attention on him, but this is a man that was a true warrior. He would go to the extreme mile. He was a man that loved the Lord. I was fortunate to serve with Mike as an elder here at Graham Street for years. The word that I think of Mike was he was very passionate. Man, he loved this church very much. He loved each and every one of us. And sometimes he would come out strong, but that was his passion coming out. Mike was the kind of friend that if you were in a situation, he would want to be there by your side. He was always there when you needed help. You know, there's a lot of people that walk in and out of our lives that are friends. But then there are friends that will leave footprints on your on your heart. He's that type of person. When I look back and think about Mike, I remember his hands and how they were calloused and broken, but they were always open to take you in. I heard a song that describes Mike best, and it goes like this. I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to hold me. When I had a nightmare, you could read quite a story on the calluses and lines and years of work and worry that left their marks behind. I remember Daddy's hand, how they held my mama tight and patted on my back for something done right. There are things that I'd forgotten that I loved about that man. I always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I've done something wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, but weren't always gentle. But I've come to understand that there that was always in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrifices unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do anything over, I'd live my life again. I never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I cried. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I had done wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, weren't always gentle. But I come to understand there is always love in Daddy's hand. You know, in closing, Mike, knowing what we know about heaven and believing that, you're all the way home. Knowing that you're somewhere better, it's all we need to let you go. It's all we need to let you go. We love you, Lynn, Ann, and family. God be with y'all.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence, cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, do mercies I see. All I have need, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sad, and the clouds be rolled back, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Well, even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Join me in prayer. Father God, we want to come before you. We want to thank you for the great gift, Lord, of the Spirit of God, who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, interceding for the will of God, causing all things to work together for the good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. I thank you for Jesus at the right hand of the Father, who's also interceding for us this day in this loss, that you are interceding in this moment, Lord, for the Hughes family. We want to thank you so much for the gifts of God, and how you're this good father who gives good gifts. And you gave a good gift in Mike Hughes. A good gift, Lord, to Lynn Ann, of 52 years of marriage. A good gift to his sons, to his daughter-in-laws, to his granddaughters, Lord. I want to thank you for the gift that you gave to his parents as a son, the gift that you gave to his church who loves him and loved him and whom he loved as well, the great gift you gave to the foster home, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that as we gather and celebrate his life today, that we declare that he reflected your goodness and reflected your glory in so many ways. And we want to ask, Lord, that in these tough days, because these have been tough days for this family, Lord, just the uncertainty of the last 30, 40 days, and yet, Lord, you have sustained them. You have sustained them, Lord, and you have blessed them. And they have been a blessing even in their loss, even in the uncertainties. Well, I want to thank you that, Lord, that we do not grieve as the rest of the world who has no hope. We grieve with great hope and anticipation that the great work you're doing in Mike's life, conforming him into your image, you'll do for us one day when we meet him. Lord, thank you, Father, for the comfort of God. And I thank you for this congregation of church and friends and community, Lord, who have truly reflected your goodness and mercy as they've ministered to this family. And we pray for them in the days ahead, Lord, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would just continue this great comfort from our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give you glory. We give you honor. We pray, Lord, that you'd continue in this service to bless us with your presence, with your hope, with your comfort. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love of Jesus, see his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Mike, thank you for your gracious remarks, so kind and so true. And Mike, we got two Mikes. Thank you for that prayer, brother. That was wonderful. Faith is what wraps this day. It's the bookends for this day, for this experience. It was the bookends before we came in here. It's the bookends while we're in here, and it'll be the bookends when we leave here, and all God's people said. And you're right, he was a gift. He was a gift in so many different ways. And isn't it amazing how words are just the right things sometimes, but oftentimes words, they're like straw men trying to describe a technicolor experience. They just fall short. And I know you guys here, two beloved sons, a lovely, dearing wife, it's difficult to put into words all the experiences. And as hard as we try, it's just more than what we can put into words, but we're going to try. Mike Hughes, did any of you know him as Mikey? your true friend, if you knew him that way, and you were in the club, if you got to call him that. So I was kind of in the club. He was my friend. And I mean that with capital letters. My life is better, truly, because my life crossed paths with him. He imprinted on me in ways that I'm pretty sure he didn't even know, but he did. And probably everybody in here has got a story. I've got a few. We'd be here till midnight, but don't worry, we're not going to be. But he was a travel companion. At times he was a confidant. Not everybody has one of those. He was a guy that I could be safe with. Not everybody has somebody you can be safe with. And whenever we were together, I knew a friend was sitting across from me. And I could say anything to him that I wanted to say, and knew that a friend's ears would listen. In ministry for 31 years, a lot of it with them here, this church, wonderful place, never felt like a minister. That's a strange way to say it, but I never felt like an employee. I was just a wannabe cowboy sitting next to a real cowboy. And he knew a lot about that. He was a joy to eat with, and he enjoyed food almost as much as I did. But I can still see him coming to the restaurant. Usually I beat him there, and I said, "Do you not have a clock?" He said, "I'm getting here as fast as I can. I got bad knees." But he'd come in, and his eyes would be searching. He'd find me, and he'd have that inimitable grin on his face. You know that grin. And always wearing a cowboy hat. One day it was incredibly windy, and he lost his hat coming in, and I saw him chasing it, which was a sight. And the hat was not, if he had to go to Huckabee, he was going to get the hat. And so he came in, and I said, "You know they make ball caps for days like today." He said, "I know, but I look so much better in a hat." He liked things simple. He liked things oftentimes black and white. I used to tell him, I said, "You are aware that there are other colors in the crayon box." He said, "Yeah, but those are just for decoration." You may notice that there's a less than elaborate box in front of us. And this is, you go to a lot of funerals and you don't see what you see today. And there's a story behind this. And it is soul, my cues. And I'm going to read what Joel wrote, because I think he puts it so beautifully. When Mike's mom, Glenna, passed away, Joel Scott and their cousin Heath recall walking around the funeral home in Big Spring, Texas, with Mike waiting on the women to pick out Glenna's casket, and they were doing it somewhat indecisively. So as they wandered, mostly in silence, but also looking at the price tags on the casket, their dad said, "Boys, when I die, you better put me in a plain pine box." And I imagine it was said with an eye squinting just a little bit and with some attitude. Joel says he's positive the box his dad had in mind that day probably was more similar to the one you might have seen in the old Western movies or the movie Tombstone. Just a plain wooden box with no handles or decor. If the funeral home would have sold one like that, they would have bought it. And though Mike's comment back then did have a little something to do with being smart with your money, money had zero to do with the final resting place for their dad today. They simply wanted to honor their dad's wish for that day and his simplicity for life. If you asked him what a perfect day was, he would say, "Saddling a good sorrel horse." And he said, "And there are bad ones." Saddling a good sorrel horse after you've had a good cup of coffee and riding through a herd of cattle on a beautiful fall day with not another human in sight. Now, I can identify with that. He said, or just getting on a good horse and hitting a good gallop across a pasture. He said there's just something wonderful, peaceful, and therapeutic about that. He's probably forgotten more about horses and cattle than most people will ever know. And I heard so many stories about that. He had so many weird, strange encounters, I guess you could put it that way, experiences with horses and cattle. I'd sometimes stop and, are you making up any of this story? He said, no, this actually happened. One time he had come to lunch and he had had a run-in with a cow. And he's a little beat up. And so I said, okay, what's the story? He said, okay. He said, don't prejudge me. He said, there's a reason why I'm beat up. And I said, what happened? He said, well, I was working this cow down a chute. And he said, she kicked me. And I said, well, you know, you get too close, they'll do that. He said, well, it made me mad. I said, okay, well, what happened next? He said, well, she turned. And she said she was going the opposite direction. He said, my direction. He said, and I wanted to turn around and go the other direction. He said, and, well, she ran over me. I said, Mike, that's a 1,000-pound animal. And he said, I know, but it's a matter of principle. And I said, I bet if you're in that situation again, you won't be as committed to your principles. He said, I don't know. We'll see when it happens. We didn't always agree on things. We didn't always see things eye to eye. We had some interesting discussions. I remember he was sharing his mind on something on one occasion. He's pretty confident about what he thought. And he said, what do you think? And I said, well, I think you're gravely mistaken on that. He said, really? I said, yep. He said, well, don't hold back. Tell me what you really think. And he was like that. We could banter back and forth. And he said, well, I think you're probably getting a little loose on that subject. I said, no, I'm just a neoconservative trying to get you to come over to the light side. He loved his family. To know him, you would think he's rough, rugged, tough. He was. But he had a genteel side. He had a soft side. Loved his kids, loved his grandkids. Little Hannah, sitting right here. Talking to her yesterday, she's got this beautiful long hair, and I said, don't cut it till you're 38. She said, Papa, thank you for teaching me about God. Thank you for teaching me how to ride a horse. Thank you for taking me on the ranger to the treehouse. Thank you for always playing with me. Thank you for having tea parties with me. I love you and miss you. Man out of the mouths of babes, and all God's people said. He loved his sons. Scotty and Joel were absolutely precious to him. He used to regale me with their stories, and I enjoyed listening to every one of them. And I asked them to share some thoughts, and they have kindly written down some things that they would like to share with you. Insights into their dad and their relationship. And this is from Scotty. Daddy wasn't just daddy. He was one of my best friends. I know he and the life lessons that he taught me will always be with me. Like when we were working cattle, there was always several that would get in your back pocket and they were not bluffing. When we were done rubbing the aches out, he would always say, there ain't nothing like this cowboy work. I remember asking one time after we were chased over the fence by a couple of crazy cows why he would keep something that wild. His response was, well, that's easy. We only have to catch her two times a year and she never misses a call. He loved the Graham Street Church of Christ. More importantly, he loved the people of the church. Daddy served and always worked towards meeting the needs of the church members. I thought I knew a lot about what he did behind the scenes, but over the past few days, I've heard how he unselfishly served and loved his brothers and sisters in Christ. Anywhere from visiting people in the hospital, sitting at a nursing home, to just driving over to someone's house to check on them and listening when someone just needed to talk. Frequently, people would stop by his office to visit. His door was always open. When I went through his office, I found on top of the stacks of bills, papers, and livestock weeklies, a Bible, with barely any binding left, and the pages are worn and marked up. I walked into that office many times, and he would be reading. Didn't matter what time of the day you went by. And while going through things at the house, I found another Bible that may be more worn than the one at the office. He loved God, and he loved Jesus. Daddy had two quotes that reflected his character more than anything. "Hold your head up, Newt, and everything's going to be all right." Love you and miss you, Daddy. Joel says, "There's so much I could say about my dad, but there are a few things I wish I could sit down and say to him. So, Daddy, this is what I want you to hear from me. You were the toughest man I ever knew, and I'm so proud of you. Physically, mentally, and emotionally, you had a type of quiet strength. You were confident and strong in your beliefs. Your calmness made others calm, even when things were hard. And I try to do the same. From losing your eye at the end of a rope and blindly crawling up to the house to getting bucked off horses that you were training to lifting steel beams up to the top of a barn with one hand while welding them in place with the other, I'm convinced you were my Superman. No one will ever be as tough as my dad. Somewhat recently, you attempted to apologize for being rough on us, which I thought was odd. Well, I want to tell you that we are proud of how you raised us. We knew you loved us. Without love, there's no trust. There was such a level of trust in you that we knew you wanted the best for us. I know you're proud of us. I wouldn't change one thing. I'm proud of how you loved our mother. As tough as you were so gentle to mother. We got to see a side of you that others didn't know much about. Granted, you were probably the luckiest man on earth to have a wife who would let you get away with just about anything you felt like you needed to do. She is a gem. But I know you knew that, and you cherished her. You knew what you had. You had a wife that would do and did everything you and we needed. You took the best care of her, too. You loved her more than anything, and I'm blessed to have gotten to witness your marriage and your love. Daddy, you taught me what real integrity looks like. Integrity is everything to me and my family. It means to do the right thing even when no one is looking. It also means doing what you say you're going to do. You tell us if you say you're going to do it, you better do it. Integrity earns trust, and trust is everything. You displayed that in your actions. You taught me that by living it. Through your integrity, you taught us about our faith in God, too. Everything you did was rooted in your faith. What an example you were to your family and everyone who came in contact with. You taught us right from wrong. We all have a sense of what's right because of your guidance, discipline, and love. Integrity means you don't quit when things seem tough. I've always told my girls, Hughes, don't quit, and we take that serious. I know you're up there with Jesus, and there's no pain, no regret, no stress, no mean mama cows that want to eat your lunch, nobody who can hurt you. Your fingers are probably straight again. You can jump out of your work truck on good knees and even lift your arms over your head on perfect shoulders. You fought the good fight, and you've run the race. I'm going to do the best to do the same. You're the greatest man and hero I'll ever know. I love you, Daddy Joel. He loved to read Scripture. He loved the Old and New Testaments. He had a great fondness for the book of Psalms and the book of Hebrews. And in our closing time here, I want to share a reading from Psalm 46, which he knew like the back of his hand, and a reading from Hebrews 6. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. Hebrews 6 is written to some house churches who aren't sure what their near future is going to look like. And the house churches are smaller than they used to be. Lots smaller. And people are having questions about, fundamentally about their faith. And is this a wild goose chase? And does this matter? And so this writer kind of weighs in 13 chapters. And it reads more like a sermon than a letter. And he shares some really good words with these struggling house churches. And in chapter 11, he goes off into a bunch of stories. He just tells stories of people. Faith, by faith, like a bass drum, boom, by faith, boom, by faith, boom. And they're all old stories. And then he ends in chapter 12 and he says, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And he says, so run your race. And today we gather in this place and our eyes don't function like his two good ones now do. He has taken his place in the stands. It's like an Olympic Coliseum. And he's with people who are you can do this. Stay in the race. In chapter 6, he says, when God made a promise to Abraham because he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently endured and obtained the promise. Human beings, of course, swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath given as confirmation puts an end to any dispute. In the same way, when God desired to show even more clearly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it by an oath, so that through two immutable things, in which it is impossible that God would prove false, we who have taken refuge, I like that, might be strongly encouraged to seize the hope set before us. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain, where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You guys have the tremendous blessing today of sitting in this moment with the privilege of claiming those words. You can own those are yours. Because Mike Hughes has given you the right to those words. And that makes all the difference in the world, right? Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise for your Son, who became one of us to show us what you want with us, what it means to be genuinely human. We thank you for people who model faith, who done it of old, that we read stories about, and we thank you for people today who show it to us, who do not show it to us perfectly, who have idiosyncrasies, who sometimes sin, who fall short, but who know how to get up and show us how to dust ourselves off, claim grace, lean into mercy, and hear your call again. We thank you for the way Mike did that for us. And Father, may we drink deeply from that cup of experience and let that water refresh us. And though this day bites, it's hard, it's difficult, Father, we pray that your Spirit, who is able to do things that we can barely imagine and sometimes don't even know how to ask, we ask that your Spirit would move and work inside this family especially. Not only today, but in the days to come, and give them everything that they need when the wind blows. That your Spirit would refresh and calm and encourage and soothe. And we thank you for Jesus that makes all of this possible. Through him we pray. Amen. Peace.
Let's be standing as we sing this final song.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and be gracious. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto
dismissed.
There's a great American hero we all look up to. When the times are hard and chips are down, he knows just what to do. Now a cowboy's got a set of rules that he lives by day to day. If you ask for his advice, he'll more than likely say, if it's a fence, mend it. If it's a dollar bill, spend it. Before it burns a hole down in them jeans. If it's a load, truck it. If it's a punch, duck it. If she's a lady, treat her like a queen. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution just about anything. If it's a job, do it. Put your back into it. Cause a little bit of dirt's gonna wash off in the rain. If it's a horse, ride it. If it hurts, hide it. Dust yourself off and get back on.
And he said, that's my job. That's what I do. Everything I do is because of you, to keep you safe with me. That's my job, you see. Every person carves his spot and fills the hole with light. And I pray someday
seeing my father. starting to see my Father in me. And I'm happy to see my Father in me.
I knew the stakes were high right from the start. When she dealt the cards out at my life, now I just found a game that I can't play. This is where